had to look back. I wasn't sure that anybody was here but Bob. Seems like we're losing members, people that are interested in the prayer meeting. I'd like for us tonight to look at a section in Scripture that I certainly found enjoyment in reading it and looking at it. Psalm 84, you can turn there. And there are some things in this psalm that certainly encourage your heart. They're solemn reminders of so much. The sanctuary, that place that meant so much to the children of Israel. This psalm leads to the heart of God. The heart's desire is to find God. When the heart gets stirred up and there's conviction and a person wants to know the Lord, wants to know something about hereafter, all of that becomes very important. So I'll read this psalm and then make some comments, and then we'll have our prayer meeting. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they who dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusteth in thee. And so we just look to the Lord again in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we have before us your word. This word is truly a lamp unto our foot and a light unto our pathway. We're so thankful for the power of the Word of God. In the hands of the Spirit of God is the sword of spirit. It can overcome every alien desire in our hearts to do anything other than the will of God. It is an enlightenment to us. It enlightens us to the pathway of righteousness that we should walk in for your namesake. So tonight, as we look at this psalm and we think about the sanctuary, the tabernacle, the temple, we even think about the places of worship that God's people go to today. How thankful we are we have a place to go to and meet together. And we're so thankful that the redeemed of the Lord value the goodness of the Lord to His people in these last days. So receive our thanks, blessed Holy God, thanking Thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed Holy Son of God. Amen. Lord, I have loved the habitation of Thy house and the place where Thy glory dwelleth. You know that verse is found in Psalm 26 and verse 8. But it's just a reminder that blessed are they that covet and long for time that they spend with God. It does have its value. I'm thinking about the construction of the temple when Solomon was given that responsibility. David had thought that he would build a house for the Lord, but no. His son Solomon was given that responsibility. But the place where God's people gathered became a very special place because that's where they met God. The value they placed upon it was because of the one they associated it with. And indeed, that's all important. How amiable are Thy tabernacles? That's a place where we meet with someone that is, He epitomizes kindness and love and being gracious. And that's what being amiable is all about. Friendly. He's friendly toward us. And a lot more. That's such a mild word to use when you think about the Lord. He's friendly. No, He is wonderful. He is gracious. He's merciful. You could go on and on. More delightful than tongue can tell. We can't think of enough words to describe how wonderful He is, can we? I want to reach out. I want to find something else I can say. There is nothing else that mankind can think of that would meet as far as we feel in our own souls. What we have to say and the words we use in describing Him are just not adequate. One day we'll be saying something else. That heavenly language that we may be speaking, and we'll be telling Him some wonderful things and how we feel about Him. Divine worship is a wonderful privilege. And the people of God should value the time they spend, the time that they have to spend in worship of the Lord. You can commit to memory so many wonderful things, and you may awake in the night and they come to mind and you reflect upon them and you enjoy it. It becomes an enjoyable time, even those times of not being able to find sleep. But it's well spent when indeed we think about Him. I like to think that, and I have read this, that so many times the people of God perhaps don't value how wonderful it is to have the privilege of gathering with others. And they all have a kindred spirit in worship and praise of the Lord. We should value that. This is a small fellowship of believers, but you would think the place would be filled up with everybody that knew the Lord. Now, I know their limitations. There are people that can't be here. But I'm also aware there's a lot of people that could be here that are not here. They don't put that kind of value upon it. Let's use plain language. They don't put a proper value of what it means to gather together with others of like precious faith and pray together and sing together and fellowship together and rejoice and praise the Lord together. They don't put enough value upon that. The psalmist certainly had a real keen sense of value for meeting with God's people in God's sanctuary. My heart and my flesh, it crieth out for the living God. Cries out for the living God. Man, he had a place in his heart reserved for thinking about the Lord. Do we have a burning desire in our soul to think about our God? Do we welcome that thought that comes into our mind every day? Well, we read the scriptures and we pray, and sometimes our little devotional times are so short that we can go through it and go through it pretty quick. But if we put a proper value upon that, we would get so involved and so swept up with a burning heart concerning this relationship we have with the true and the living God. We just couldn't pull back. I only meant to spend a few minutes in here. I've been on my knees or I've been in meditation for an hour. And that, I believe, seems to be something that the psalmist, people have to be urged, people have to be sometimes badgered to get them to come to the meetings in which we worship and praise the Lord. But David is crying out. Sometimes, you know, we think about the church bell that they ring. I don't know if they do many church bell ringings now or not, but why didn't you come to the meeting? I didn't hear the bell. You shouldn't have to hear the bell. The bell should have been in here. Yes, you knew. God's people were gathering together. And now you use the excuse, nobody rang the bell. Well, we don't have a bell here. But sometimes people have to call people up and remind them. Missed you at the meeting lately. Have you been sick? No. And other things are introduced. But that burning heart, putting the proper value again upon being with the Lord's people, that bell is right in here and it goes off. Often, he reflects upon the birds, the little sparrows. They dwelt there. They were in the sanctuary all the time, in the tent, in the temple, and around the temple area. There they were. And he thought about that, and he envied those birds. David envied those birds. You got it made. You're there every day around the things of God. And so many of us take it lightly. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. He gave out a cry that I wish I could spend all of my time. All of my time. He had his time was valuable in that he had so many other things to take care of that perhaps he didn't even come close the time he would like to spend with the Lord, dwelling near to the Lord, experiencing the joy of the Lord, knowing that there would be a day sometime in which there'd be no end to spending time with the Lord. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. Do you find real joy in the things of God, the worship of God, the praise of God? All of these things begin to come into focus, and you begin to find out just how much value you place upon it and how much time you will devote to it, which would tell you a whole lot. The Word, of course, is so profitable to the one that spends his time in meditation upon the Word of God. Thought about those that would be on their way, say at the time of Passover and other times, they were journeying to the place where they would observe the Passover, and they'd pass through dry, thirsty lands. That's what this thing, the Valley of Baca, a place of no refreshment there, a place of weeping. It wasn't really a joyous place. And the pilgrims went through those areas. But I think the note that you get in this is that indeed you can find refreshment in other sources other than the pool of water. You can find refreshment in being with other believers. And the thing that sustained them and kept them along this pathway was the company of believers that they were with. And they all had a kindred spirit and a mind that was directed toward fellowship and praise with God. And they found strength to go on, God's people. Along the way, they sometimes they grow weak. The psalmist speaks of growing stronger and stronger. The writers of the New Testament speak of spiritual growth, in which one expands in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul would pray for the churches that he ministered to, that they would come to a fuller knowledge of the perfect will of God. And boy, that is something to think about. That will cause you to do some heart searching. Do I really value the will of God? Do I go after the will of God for my life? Am I content with just whatever happens? Or just whatever comes up? I'm a victim of circumstances and so forth. No, a very positive attitude that says I'm going after those things that place a value upon my relationship with the person of our Lord Jesus Christ becomes very important. And the psalmist seems to have a keen insight into that. The shield seeing the face of the anointed, the security that comes to one's soul when he thinks about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He finds security in knowing that he is protected and cared for during the course of life. Well, where was your God when you went through that? He was still there. He's still there. He does allow circumstances in our lives at times, but again, all things are working together for good to them that love the Lord, that are called according to His purpose. So God never shortchanges us. Everything we need is there, and it's wonderful to behold how carefully He is to meet our every need and help us to grow stronger. The psalmist makes a comment that I've heard so many times. He said that a day in your courts is better than a thousand. One day in your courts. One day occupied with you. One day in which I had a holiday. Better than a thousand spent doing something else. And, you know, sometimes even the one day that is provided for some people, they don't even take advantage of that. So this doesn't speak too well of the kind of devotion and loyalty to the things of God that the people of God should have. When we develop that kind of appreciation in our souls, thank you, Lord, for what you have done for me. Thank you for what you're doing for me. And all you have to do is just say, I'm going to meditate a little bit upon that anointed one that came into the world. He was the Lamb of God that could take away the sin of the world. And I began to think about him and his role and all that he did in perfect compliance with the will of God. Not my will, thy will be done. That's him. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think about him and you think about him. And how long do we find it so deeply satisfying that we don't think about anything else? The man on the cross, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, the one that bore the penalty of my sin, vile sinners, the sin of the whole world, God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You begin to think about those things. And it deepens your appreciation and your love for the Lord Jesus. Your heart goes out to him, the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You might even say to yourself, I should have had to pay for my own sin. I've heard people say, I'll pay for my own sin. That's a foolish statement, but you just don't know what is involved in paying the penalty for your own sin. But someone loved you so much, if you get a grip on how much someone would have to love you and care for you to do what he did for us. When you begin to get a grip on that, you begin to say, thank you, Lord. You're humbled in his presence as you think about this thing. The doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. David could say, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, or to be called into the highest of places of sin and given some kind of pomp and ceremony and recognition. I'd just rather be there in the sanctuary of God, in the tent, in the temple. And I'd have to be there first and open the door. And I'd have to be the last one that left to close the door. And it was such a menial thing that I did. But I'd rather just have that to be in the place of royalty. See, doesn't that cast in your own mind the kind of value that one can develop toward the things of God and the opportunities that are available to us to worship and to praise him? For the Lord God is sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You know, we have a lot in the New Testament that reminds us how we walk. What is my lifestyle? How do I walk through life? What kind of opinion is formed of me by people that watch me every day as I walk through this life, my manner of life, and the things that I value, and what I'm doing, and how I'm living? What do people think of me? Or better still, what does God think of me? You know, in that picture of the seven churches, they left their first love. Get to Laodicea and we're rich. We don't need anything. I got it made. Got it made. Oh, how sad. He will not withhold from them that walk uprightly anything. Man, that's a promise. That's a promise. If we're walking in the pathway of righteousness in perfect accord with the will of God, you ask of Him, always keeping in mind His will be done. These things are freely given of God. Well, let's open our mouths in our prayer meetings tonight and let's ask our God for blessing. I can remember a few months ago, we were asking for souls. I haven't heard that recently. Very specifically, like we were focusing. And it seems that we did have some children that were saved. It would tell you something about our faithfulness and commitment to the things that we really want to see happen. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. I'd rather be a man that trusted in Him than any man in the highest place with the greatest wealth or anything you want to describe. I'd rather be a man that trusteth in Him than anything or body that I can think of. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your pathway. He'll have you walking on the pathway of righteousness for His name's sake. May God help us take very seriously and value the things that honor the God that loved us and gave His only begotten Son for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise His holy name.